Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you'll need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
So much for joining us for your ROH and TNA post show for August 15th. Holy cow, almost back to school time in the Northeast already. Back to school time, I think, for some of our Southern friends in other parts of the country. But get in those super chats. Get in, oh, I was going to say those Humper chats out of habit, but only super chats today. I was testing you guys. I was testing myself. But one thing I will tell you to do is leave a thumbs up on this video and subscribe to this YouTube channel as well. But best way to support us, FightfulSelect.com. If you're on Twitter, you probably saw Sean Ross Sapp on his victory lap tour that was going on today, because AEW announced that they are going to be running a stadium show in Texas. Huge news, not only for AEW fans, not only for the promotion of AEW, but SP3, our forever champion in Athena. My goodness, her home state. So many good things happening. I would keep an eye out for that Warner deal coming down the pipeline as well. We'll have all the details for you on FightfulSelect.com. More and more contract news around the corner. Some women's contract news that just got uploaded today that made me very, very excited. And Jhené Chi, who got signed to MLW. So much more to come. Oh my goodness. But we are getting full episodes of ROH again. This is not an hour or less of thrown together matches. Holy cow, we finished out these tapings strong. My goodness, what a loaded episode. Good stuff. Full, extensive stories being developed, paying off here, especially with Serpentico getting to keep his mask. We're going to talk all about that and more. But SP3, what do you think tonight overall? You were saying I wasn't expecting this to end at 9 on the dot Eastern. We are so back, baby, with ROH. I hope they continue this momentum. But what did you think tonight overall?
I did not expect Ring of Honor to have more wrestling content than Dynamite this week.
Yeah, the go home to Cardiff was light. It was light, I will say.
It was
that.
Very, very light, because we had four video packages on that show. We had plenty of wrestling to enjoy on this show. Some really good matches on the show. I made a complaint at the beginning of the show that I wish that some of the title matches that we got would have been set up last week, seeing as two of the challengers got wins last week, and you could have done the same segments they did on this show on last week's show to set them up for this week. But nonetheless, I can't complain. If we're getting good wrestling, we're actually getting stories being told. And I'm not going to complain when the show ends with Dustin Rose being shown. You can't have everything, sir. Then people are just going to band against you. I'm all for heels banding together against a selfish babyface.
Against a selfish babyface. Strong selfish words from SV3. But let's get into this episode. Matthew Hook saying, how will they film ROH Dark if it returns? That's a lot. You know, or how will they film ROH if Dark returns? That's a lot. That is a good question. I hope it doesn't feel like they're the same product. I'll put it that way, because for a long time it felt like they were the same product. Dark could just be, if it returns. I mean, those were mostly like using independent talent. It feels like we've gotten away from that in these more recent ROH tapings of some independent talent being featured that's local to the area. But for the most part, it felt like we had some roster clarity. We had a sense of who's important in stories. Dark is just like some fun matches. There were some stories on there, but the taping schedules, I don't know. I mean, the dream would be for me that ROH has its own home, right? I mean, if Dark is getting recorded before tapings, if ROH was its own thing, that would be ideal for me. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I didn't hear about Dark possibly returning. I don't want it to, like you, I don't want it to be the same thing. It was ROH Dark for a lot of it. Ever since they left Universal until they got this homestead in Arlington, it felt like Ring of Honor was more or less ROH Dark. So I don't want it to mix together. I do like the fact that Dark, you know, did spotlight some independent talent, some talent that would eventually sign with AEW or even to WWE, like a Thea Hale. So I'm all for that, but I don't want the two to blend together. And honestly, I keep saying it. Can Tony Khan just let ROH stay in Arlington? Can we just stay here?
I mean, selfishly, I would love for it to move back to Maryland just because I could go, because it's closer,
That's true.
These Texas crowds have earned that stadium show, man. I'm excited. I hadn't heard about the possibility of Dark coming back either, but who knows with these negotiations on the horizon what we might see. But we saw a lot of Ring of Honor wrestling tonight, so get in those super chats. Leave a thumbs up on this video, please, and subscribe to this channel if you haven't already. We're at 115,000 strong. We appreciate you so much. But this starts with Melissa Santos interviewing Paul White ahead of the episode. And Johnny and Taya do what they do best and interrupt. And Johnny just kind of stakes his claim for wanting this world title shot against Mark Briscoe. You kind of alluded to this at the very beginning of this show. This is something that probably could have been like on last week's episode to lead into this and hype this up a little bit. I'm sure that being in one spot made it easier to pace some things out, but it's also a different animal. So they probably ended up with a little bit more supersized of an episode than maybe they were even expecting, but that gets granted, which made me so happy because SP3, our world champ, was on television tonight. That's always an exciting thing. Any thoughts on this opening segment?
I don't appreciate Johnny TV didn't give Paul White enough time to recapitulate, which is the word of the day, about his decision. They just put him on the spot, and he had to make an on-the-fly decision getting Johnny TV an ROH world title shot. But I do appreciate that the world title shot, you know, we got it right off the bat to open the show as a hot open to the show, having the Ring of Honor world champion Mark Briscoe with a little salt in his beard on the kick off the show. And then it led into building towards another Ring of Honor world title shot, world title matchup for next week's show. So I'm fine with if you didn't get the build for this matchup here, at least you're getting the build for the next world title.
Agreed. It was a little weird that we finally have our world champ around and they have this open the show like that. That I will say, it is nice. It is nice to start the show with something that's exciting, but you can edit these. This was a problem on Collision a couple of weeks ago too. They said your main event is next, and it was like in the middle of the show. Stop doing that. Like, don't be lazy about your editing, man. It's so easy. But this does kick off the show. And a really fun match, too. We have Mark Briscoe winning with the J-Drilla. I'm going to throw it right to you, SP3. I thought this was a lot of fun. We've got a lot to get through tonight, so I'm going to try and be a little bit more concise in my analysis. But Johnny TV, super veteran, can work with any style. Same with Mark Briscoe. Taya's amazing. Like, I understand why Johnny loves Taya. She just, every role that she takes on, she's so great. Having her at ringside was super fun. Nice to see Johnny showing out, and kind of fun to see him against a more serious component after that really long Dalton Castle feud. Like, I know he's deeply unserious, but it was nice to see him against somebody that was a little bit more of a straight man in this, too, as fun as all that work with Dalton was. What do you think of our opener tonight?
Always think Mark Briscoe is one of the best baby faces, and Johnny TV got to look good in this title defense, this title challenge for him. And I like the fact that he did not put his legs up for the J driller. He took that J driller like a stuffed power driver.
No joke. Yeah, that was rough.
It did look rough on him, but Mark Briscoe picking up another victory, another successful title defense, and what's shaping up to be a good, title reign for him, despite it not starting the best, because, you know, he loves to make babies, and he had to do paternity leave right after winning the Ring of Honor World Championship, but he's kind of hit the ground running ever since then. Title defenses against Kyle Fletcher, against Roddy Strong, and now here against Johnny TV. Some good stuff, and I like what it led into for the rest of the night with Mark Briscoe giving us a word of the day: recapitulate.
It is so fun that he has taken this Pee Wee Herman-esque thing and incorporated it into what he's doing again, but always great to see Mark Briscoe around. Very nice to see our world champ on some tapings here, but Shame Monster saying, TMDK, that's me, baby. I got more Robbie Eagles today. Gonna see TMDK live at Capital Collision as well. A whole bunch of them. All of them? All of the non-Australia crew, I think. SB321 Contact. How are the tip touchers doing?
Always good.
Better than Griff Garrison. We're going to hold it this entire chat. More Leo high-speed matches with 70s dirtbag Blake, please. More workhorse men, beef men, please. Workhorse beef men. Very, very nice.
I love that.
Feel free to touch tips in the chat. I'll tell you what. This tip touching, Griff Garrison may not have obliged. But I had people on my Friday show, on the SmackDown post show, type in these emojis into the chat, and it popped me so huge. I'm such a fan of those guys. Made me so happy. And of all the merch issues that they have in AEW, the thing with the tip touching is you can just have regular foam fingers and just...
Yes, there you go.
Beautiful. It writes itself. You don't have to go out of your way at all, but... some good stuff in this episode. We're going to get into more of it. See, this is what we love to see. We love... some tip touching. I will say, I forget what show it was, but we had people just doing one and then the other one. Like, someone would type one side and the person would type the other. Oh, it makes me so happy. I like it when our chat is in on the bits, people, but we're going to talk more about that in a little bit. But after our world title match, we have a nice vignette for Robbie Eagles ahead of his match with Atlantis Jr., which was great. Love people getting to learn a little bit more about Robbie Eagles. So much of what you need to know about Robbie Eagles is what you see in the ring. Honest to God, we're going to talk about that match next because it was really, really, really fun. But Robbie getting to talk a little bit about who he is, him calling it Rob of Honor, I liked on social media and here. This was a nice vignette, but this match, I love Robbie Eagles, man. I don't know what to tell you. Like, the blend of his technical ability and his high-flying ability against somebody like Atlantis Jr. is just great. Like, they had such good chemistry. Robbie's strength, to me, part of it is just in his versatility and what he can do. Atlantis Jr. retaining here with the La Atlantida. Sorry, I suck. I'm dyslexic and very white, so my apologies. But I thought this was a really fun match. I thought for sure he was going to be going after that Pure Championship, but I guess that went away when Wheeler was the one to drop it. But I would love to see more of Robbie Eagles in the Pure picture. I think he's probably just at these tapings for the times that he's here in America, but really love this. Soul of PWA. If you don't have your eyes on PWA, please check it out. A fantastic calling it an indie out of Australia feels so misaligned with how we view independent wrestling here in America, because it's so fewer and further between the amount of promotions, the amount of reps for these guys and gals. So it's very, very, very high quality independent wrestling in Australia, but Robbie has that soul of PWA championship. Fantastic talent. I had a lot of fun with this match. That's no surprise to anybody. I'm a TMDK gal, but I thought this was great. And I'm not as familiar with Atlantis Jr., so getting to see more of what he's capable of too was really nice. What did you think of this vignette from Robbie and the match that we got after?
Robbie has always been a very underrated talker. I think that his ability to kind of come across, especially as he's gained his confidence, because I did like an interview back with him in 2019 when he first came to New Japan Pro Wrestling. It was part of the Bullet Club, and he didn't really have that confidence that he has now in everything he's saying. He knows who he is, and he knows how to get that across to the audience watching, so I very much enjoyed the promo. And then the matchup was even better, because it was a nice little kind of, you saw the two guys' style, where, you know, a Atlantis Jr. doesn't really have like the prototypical flippy Lucha Libre style. Yes. He's very technical to go along with his Lucha Libre stylings. And then you have Robbie, who's really a hybrid, where he could do the high flying. He's very fast in the ring, but he's also a great technician as well. So those styles really meshed together very well, and it made for a good matchup. And it made sense that Atlantis Jr. had to use a submission to beat the technician. So I love how everything in the storytelling and the psychology of the matchup, it made sense in the end with how he pulled off the victory with the Argentinian Breakbreaker, is the original name. I don't know what Atlantis Jr. calls it, but I like Ian Riccobotti calling it by its original name there. So that was a nice touch as well. But really strong matchup. I would say it's either between this or another matchup on this card for the best match that we saw, but two really, really good matches on the show today, and this was one of them.
Yeah, this was excellent. This was right up my alley. Cooler nickname, Sniper of the Skies or Limb Reaper?
Oh, the Limb Reaper, for sure.
Right, it's just so cold. It's so cold, I love it. I love it. Super fun match. Definitely worth checking out. This was a bigger episode than we get, but if you're just looking to go back and grab something real quick, this is in the top three for me for the night four. Sure, so some good stuff there. But we circle back here to Leo Rush and Blake Christian. The chat calling him like 70s porn star Blake Christian was fantastic. But man, these two are just destined to fight for the rest of their lives. They're two of those guys that I think are meant to wrestle each other forever and ever and ever. Leo Rush winning with the rebound stutter. So excited that he's back here under the AEW ROH umbrella. So excited he signed somewhere. So excited that I get to see him consistently, selfishly. Like, we've beat the drum ad nauseum that the retirement jokes are corny and lame. But, like, he also, since recommitting to being back in wrestling, was in New Japan and then had some just, like, crazy life circumstances and all this stuff. Like, him getting on my TV consistently is something that makes me happy, because I love watching Leo Rush wrestle. Blake Christian's great. Like, we know this about him. He's excellent. He's excellent every time he has a chance to showcase what he's able to do. You want to talk about how we just had Styles making a matchup? These guys, I feel like, are more in each other's worlds. This was not a contrast of styles, but this was a whole heck of a lot of fun. My eyes couldn't keep up with that. I don't know how fast they can move that I can't even watch as quickly as they can move in the ring. So some really fun, really smooth work here. What did you think of our Blake Christian and Leo Rush match?
Yeah, these were like two clones going at each other, and they like set the tone for it at the beginning when Leo tried to do his running in the ropes misdirection, but then Blake got to the rope at the same time. So it set it up perfectly what the match was going to be. And they were it was just a mixture of speed, fast pace, like offense. And then you had some high flying mix into there as well. I love the fact that they knew each other so well, and you you saw that in the storytelling, in the work that they were doing in the ring. And the finish, it, you know, Leo using one of his signature moves, not really the final hour, the frost splash off the top rope. He got the win with the rebound stunner, the rush hour, and then rolled him up for the victory. And I love the fact of the post-match, it let us know that this is probably just like the first match in a series of matches we're probably going to get in Ring of Honor, because we got a little bit of the douchebag Blake Christian that has become a top star in Game Changer Wrestling. And I've been asking for this for what feels like 18 months on Ring of Honor. I've been saying, I'll be like, why can't we get that guy? That guy mixed with this guy, because I feel like he's a better worker in Ring of Honor than he is in Game Changer Wrestling. But in Game Changer Wrestling, he's a much better character than he is in Ring of Honor, just being guy who does high flying and loses all the time. I want to see his in-ring work here that we've seen so well in Ring of Honor, whether it be matches with Zack Sabre Jr. or, you know, any of the pre-show matches that he's had on pay-per-views. And then you get that character work where he is just an ultimate douchebag that the fans can just boo out the building. I need those to fuse together, and we got that here. And it was also, for me being a New Japan fan, it was like we got robbed of the fact that Lio Rush wasn't in the Best of the Super Juniors tournament this year after his breakout performance last year. And you always say the retirement jokes are played out. It was played out after his performance in the Best of Super Juniors last year. Like, yeah. Last year, he broke out. The Japanese fans loved him. I always go back to that newborn child. Had to be only months old, and they handed the child to the little Japanese baby to him because they were so in love with Lio Rush. Like, that's when it was over. I was like, no more retirement jokes. It's over. He's back. He's back in wrestling. He's found his love again, and it's great to see him here in AEW, where you could see he's got that love for professional wrestling again. So, really damn good matchup. And I would say I would give this the slight edge over Atlantis Jr. and Robbie Eagles for my favorite match of the night, because these two guys have styles that just are made for one another. So this was really good, but it felt like an appetizer for what's going to be an even better matchup down the road.
I agree. I think whichever one was my favorite for tonight was whatever one I just watched. Like, both really, really excellent matches. Well, such different stories. You're right in that there were some spots where it just felt like they had each other scouted, like very aware of each other, which I thought was some nice storytelling in there. But the other thing that I'm excited about SP3 is, like, how many times have we been saying, like, Lee Johnson is the only singles guy without a title? Like, maybe we're starting to build people up. Like, maybe this is a story that will blossom into something. So, hoping that's symptomatic of what's to come. Sorry, I got the hiccups there for a second. Get in your super chats. Leave a thumbs up on this video. A lot more of you watching now than were at the beginning of the show. And we always appreciate seeing the numbers go up instead of down, especially while I'm hiccuping over here. I appreciate you guys. But we move on to a very important segment here, which is MIT. Billy Starks and your ROH Forever Champion from the great state of Texas, Athena, coming to the ring for some minion training. And you see Billy Starks doing her sit-ups in there, and Athena cutting a promo where she's bragging about mentoring the two of them. And Starks asks Athena why Lexi wasn't there, and Athena says that Nair didn't lose the title at Death Before Dishonor. So she didn't get demoted like Billy did, but Athena said that she was looking to become the longest reigning champion in ROH history, and says that every hussy backstage is afraid of her. I get it. I mean, she beat everybody on one leg, and that the pain has arrived. And then, whoops, here comes Abaddon confronting Athena in her face before Athena falls out of the ring. She clarified on social media, which we appreciate, that she left her phone backstage. So she needed to go backstage and get her phone, which, like,
yeah, that makes
I get
sense.
It. Yeah, no, I that totally checked out to me. I don't know why Abaddon was attempting to scare Athena, but it obviously didn't work. So Abaddon seems to have their sights set on Athena's title. Glad to see them back. Like, they were doing some really good work in that tournament and then kind of went away for a while. And I was like, oh no, don't wait until spooky season to bring them back. Like, don't make them that person, please. But not only back, but they're back in a pretty major way here, which I like to see. A couple of things that didn't make sense wins and loss wise. This was one of them. Johnny TV also hasn't been racking up so many wins. He should probably be getting a world title shot, but because this brand is refinding their footing a little bit, I'm going to choose to let that slide. But that was something that I did think about. What did you think of Minion Training and the return of Abaddon here?
Okay, I have a couple of different problems here. First of all, Billy Starks. This was the first of many questions or complaints that didn't make any sense. Imagine me, I'm in detention, and I'm asking why the A-plus student, the number one student in the class, is not in detention with me.
True.
Like, how dare you? How dare you ask the teacher that? I was a teacher one time. I used to teach situational stuff to people in detention schools and juvenile delinquent centers. And that's what Athena was doing with Billy Starks, because she's a juvenile delinquent. She didn't hold her end of the bargain in keeping Athena's woman's TV title. So she's got to do some sit-ups here. And then you go and question her? Like, how dare you? How dare you?
That's ridiculous. The questioning of authority here was not something that I really liked either, I gotta say.
I was purely disgusted trying to put Lexi on the same level as her when Lexi is achieving on a higher level as a minion. So that was ridiculous. And then Abaddon interrupting our forever champion. No, you have to take a number. You have to take a number and you have to wait your turn. And you cannot interrupt our forever champion when she's in the middle of a soliloquy, in the middle of a monologue. That is pure disrespect on the highest level. And how dare these people online? That's my third problem. How dare these people online saying that Athena was scared? She had her Apple Watch, and she knew that her phone was ringing backstage.
That's it.
So she got her Apple Watch. She can't answer the phone with the Apple Watch. No, she needs her phone.
The kind of champion that's going to leave you on red. You know what I mean? She's not just like going to just wait to respond. She has business to take care of, and she returns her text messages and emails in a timely fashion, I'm sure. So I don't know what people online are even talking about, but... I will say this for Abaddon, not so much a porcelain trash hussy, not so much made of porcelain, I don't think. So I think Athena might have her hands full with them, so we will see what's to come.
They might be an issue for Athena. I did not have that on my bingo card, but sign me up. I'm here for it. I'm here to see what's next between Athena and Abaddon, which will be... very, very interesting.
Agreed. Well, we get the conglomeration backstage. Ishii and Mr. Briscoe, who we saw earlier cutting a promo where he said it was an honor facing Jonathan Television. But he speaks out about Beast Mortos pinning him. So I like that if wrestlers are going to be appearing on different brands, that it's consistent and carries over, which is refreshing. And he says that... before declaring a title shot, he said that he needed revenge on your AAA Latin American champion. So good stuff here. Good stuff here. We, I think, all saw Beast Mortos doing really cool stuff, but it felt like at that pay-per-view, he really arrived as a guy that they could build ROH around. They could pair with Roosh if they want. Like, he feels like a force to be reckoned with. So him versus Mark Briscoe, let's rock and roll. Let's rock and roll on that. Any thoughts?
The most important part of this whole program is that we got our word of the day. Recapitulate. This is my third time saying it on this show, and I love the fact that Mark Briscoe, you could tell he was a local champion, a city champion, a state champion in Sandy Fork, Delaware, in a spelling bee, because he can always use the word of the day in a sentence. He's a true spelling bee god. So I got a little shout in my beard, and you're going to recapitulate. So I had to recapitulate of what I was doing, and you know, I'm going to get out from a Beast Mortos.
It's like he's in the room with me now. Uncanny. Uncanny, SP3, but very much looking forward to that program. we get a match between Shibata and Arya Daivari. What are they doing with the premier athletes? What are they doing?
I think they set up the premier athletes perfectly for their promo later in the night, where I was like, didn't y'all just lose? Like, what are we complaining about?
To Shibata pretty White. Handily and a Juju Katami, like very fast, fast enough.
And this comes a week after Tomohiro Ishii did the same thing to Tony Nese, and y'all lost on Collision to Hologram and Darby Allin. Like, every time I see y'all lose. Unless it's against guys who don't get entrances, who are local talent and are already in the ring, you usually lose. Y'all, that's what y'all here for. Y'all usually lose. So how y'all complaining about anyone else getting a title shot? That's like the Pistons complaining about not being in the NBA Finals, or the Jets complaining about not being in the Super Bowl. Like, what? You don't deserve to be here. What are we talking about?
An extremely fair point, and that if you're constantly losing, you probably shouldn't be sniffing around too many important things on the show. But later we do get Paul White revealing that Beast Mortos will be challenging for that world title against Mark Briscoe. Tony Nese and Arya Daivari interrupt, as you were saying, and said that they had been handed title shots. Well, the premier athletes had been ignored. And White points out that they lost, much like you just did. But Nese versus Leo Rush should hoop. So that should be fun.
It's for good reason. It's like one of those like Twitter accounts that has like no profile picture, and then they're complaining about Beyonce's Twitter not responding to them. Like, what?
Yeah. Or they'll like troll Sean, and then Sean has an extensive gifts folder, and he'll bookmark your tweets. I just sit back and laugh because
when he's proven right, it's like
that happens like a lot, and people never like to learn, but it's fun.
Don't be that. Don't do that, premier athletes. I enjoy your work, but
I know.
Please, make sense.
And also, like, my kingdom for Josh Woods' victory and story on ROH television, please.
I'm here for all of that. I do like the fact that Shibata has really taken to all the teachings that he got from the Von Erich family on using the Iron Claw. And he does the Iron Claw into a cross arm breaker.
So, I was like,
okay.
So this is actually a great segue, because on the ROH page, you now have the Von Erichs and MXM got added, and they're all doing like the juxtaposition of them being above and below each other, of MXM doing their like poses and the Von Erichs doing like the claws and like a tip of the cowboy hat or whatever. I was like, I love wrestling so much.
They need to put them all in a row of the Von Erichs like this. You got the Dark Order who are like this. And then you got MXM who are like this.
Perfect. ROH is for fun hand gestures. But
they're for hand jobs.
It's a hand job. It is. That's, they get paid for it. So it's a job with their hands. It's a hand job. They would never use such double entendres, MXM, but they're backstage cutting a promo, and they're interrupted by Griff Garrison and Maria Kanellis, and I had the same thought.
Speaking of hand jobs.
I had the same thought that you did of, did we manifest yet another thing on ROH programming? Because I was about to check what, like, lunar cycle we're in, because we're getting really good at this. But we get Maria, who presented the offer of a faction here, much like we had been predicting. And because they are such fine, upstanding gentlemen, who are also models, and also enter frame in the most fun ways possible, they offer to touch tips with Griff Garrison, but he just smooshes the tips. Which, look, I'm a lady, I don't know, but from what I'm told, that's not, I don't think that's what you're supposed to do with tips.
He jerked the tip. He gripped the tip.
He did.
What? He has no tip etiquette. This is ridiculous. It's just the tip. Just the tip. They all they wanted to do was just touch tips. That's all they need. That's all Griff needed to do, and he could have found himself in the elite paradise of the runway of honor. But he just had to grip that tip. He saw that tip, and he just wanted to. He just wanted to that tip, and you don't do that. Let me tell the ladies. Let me tell the gentlemen out there. You know, the gentlemen who like to be around tips. Like this you don't just grab it. You don't have to vice grip the tip.
Absolutely not. That does not, from what I've heard, that's just not the way to go about business. It's detrimental. You don't do this. You don't just.
What are we doing?
What are we doing?
What are we doing? No tip etiquette. No.
What
tip
I learned is Griff Garrison doesn't know hand jobs. That's what I learned because he doesn't. He did a terrible job today, and it wasn't a hand job.
Imagine what he does to his own tip.
I'm not gonna, because it would bring me so much sadness.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
This is an ad by BetterHelp. What are your self-care non-negotiables? It's hard to make time for the things that keep you healthy, but being consistent with self-care is like working a muscle. And when life gets crazy, that muscle keeps you strong. Therapy is the ultimate self-care, and BetterHelp makes it easy to get started with affordable online sessions you can do from anywhere. Never skip therapy day with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com today to get 10% off your first month.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Leave a thumbs up. We're having fun here. We've got double entendre for you. But Griff Garrison, because he's an idiot, Griff, because he's a tip
Griff the
snatcher.
Grip.
Griff the grip. Yep. He's also a big fat loser because he didn't listen to Mansoor and Mason. All he had to do was touch tips, but because he was too busy trying to snatch them, he loses his match, which of course is for this mask that we've been fighting over for 953 years. But Serpentico wins over Griff Garrison via frog splash. A lot of ref interference in this. Some chair shots that went both ways. One thing, Ian Riccaboni goes, both of them hurting below the belt at this point in the match, which popped me huge. What a fantastic turn of phrase, as Ian Riccaboni is prone to. But this was fun. It was kind of nice to see Griff Garrison in a singles match with some meat on the bone where he was able to show what he can do. When he was in the promo with MXM, tip snatching as he might be, I was like, he's kind of a big dude. Like, he was certainly not eye to eye with Mason, but he's tall. Like, he's got some more size to him than I think I realized. He has something. I think if he just keeps leaning into it, if he's just a little bit more assertive with what he's doing, I think there's really something in there that I think is going to blossom, that we're starting to see come out a little bit more. Also, just, I know Maria was dealing with some health issues. We're so glad that she's okay, but just such a breath of fresh air, just such a wonderful presence on ROH. She's become so integral to this specific brand. When she's gone, it feels weird. It feels like Mom left. She went out for groceries and never came back, which is so sad. But I like that we got to see Griff show out. I'm glad that we got a blow off to this story. Serpentico, you know, they can't all be John Cruz, as we like to say on this show, but always a fantastic in-ring storyteller and pulling a lot of really great stuff out of Griff Garrison here as well. But I think if Griff just keeps kind of leaning into who he is, I think we're going to see some really cool stuff out of him in the future. What did you think of the blow off of our maskety mask story?
I was thoroughly shocked when we got a referee bump. I was like, when was the last time we saw a referee bump on ROH TV? Like, it's been a minute. It was just weird. It felt like a House of Torture match for a little bit when the referee was down. And we got Angelico coming out with the steel chair. We had the chair assisted low blow. We had the chair in the corner and stuff like that. But I was glad we got the result, because I honestly thought for a second there that they were going to give Griff Garrison the win in this one. But I like the fact that Serpentico got the win. He got his mask back. You can finally, you know, tie this with the bow and move on. Griff Garrison can see if he can work on his tip touching ability and teaming up with MXM Collection. He needs some tip etiquette classes, and he needs to be done with Serpentico and Angelico for now. And they can move on and maybe possibly move up into the tag team ranks a little bit more, picking up some victories over there. So I was glad that this felt like a blow off to this, what was it, 8-month storyline? Yeah. It still is shorter time than Chris Jericho versus Hook.
February that shit started. February. Guys, get in your super chats. Leave a thumbs up on this video. Leave wonderful chats like this from Beat Norvis, who says, hello, SP3 and Minion 690069. That's me. And all of the bruvs, if my guy Beef isn't in Meat Mayhem, I'm going to lose my meaty mind. I may even cry a little. Well, we are going to talk about Beef shortly. I have long said that Meat Mayhem, Meat Madness, whatever you want to call it, should be March Madness, and it should be a social media thing of just meat matches, and it should be a full bracket. Come on, how fun would that be? That would be, if that was like a Max exclusive, if it was March Madness and you had like nerds doing commentary. Oh my god, it would be so much like Jake something's in it. You get meat from all over the world. Oh, it would be so great. I stand by that. That's what they should do with that. But we're going to talk about Beef in a second here. Closing the loop on Griff Garrison. I feel like this guy might be a face. A comedic heel, I think, could work for him. But watching him today, I was like, there's something easy to root for about this guy. Between his like magnetic charisma and the look, I was like, wonder if what's missing with this guy is that he's actually just meant to be more of a baby face. Like, I wanted him to have the comeback in this. And that's not because he did a bad job as a heel. It just, I was kind of like finding myself on the side of wanting to root for him. So maybe he's nice.
Yeah, maybe he's just nice in real life. He's still, even though I think he's been in AEW for what, 3-4 years now, he still feels like he is in his Sexton Hardcastle. He's not yet Edge of his Adam Copeland revolution, or if he is Edge, he's still Edge in 1998, not even Edge in 1999 when he teams up with Christian and we start to see him rise and evolve. He's still in that type of like evolution of his Pokemon levels. So he's Edge in 1998 at best. And I thought that's what we saw in this matchup. This is one of his like better showings in the singles, you know, singles division. So I do agree with you. There is something about him that makes you want to kind of root for him.
If your castle isn't Dalton or isn't getting hard, bluechew.com, code FIGHTFUL, same active ingredients as Viagra, etc. etc.
Sex castle.
Sing. Kate, you don't know how happy you just made me. Come on, that would be so much fun. Meet Madness being a March Madness thing? Oh. Meet from every promotion. Let Big E do commentary everywhere. For it. Open the forbidden door. He deserves it. He deserves it. We got Harley Cameron versus Viva Vaughn winning with the Shining Wizard. Good stuff. Harley Cameron continuing to move her in-ring career along. Less offensive than her beating Trisha Dora, who I still don't know why she's not on television. Don't get me started. But Viva Vaughn also, this is just because of my knowledge of the landscape, like a little too established to be taking L's to Harley Cameron, but I get what they're doing for their own program. Like I understand that what they're telling me is not what I know in my head, but Harley Cameron, I said, could be like AEW's Carmella. And the more I see her, the more confident I feel in that assertion. Cause she has something that is so special and unique to her, which I always felt like Carmella did. Like nobody was doing what she was doing. I felt like Bunny had it in AEW, but she's no longer there. And I think Harley Cameron stepping into that role of extremely character driven heel who can hold her own in the ring, but has this alley that is just like Harley Cameron's alley, is something that could be really good for the product. And ROH is the perfect testing ground for such a thing. Not a lot to write home about on this, but what did you think of what we got?
That's a fabulous comparison, Carmella and the Bunny to Harley Cameron, because I do agree. I see what you're talking about there. The biggest takeaway that I got from this matchup was I felt like this was the most that we got to see of Viva Vaughn, like on offense, because she usually is facing one of like the bigger stars, whether it be like a Marina Shafir, a Layla Hirsch, or an Athena on Ring of Honor television. We got to see that she is a very skilled performer here, and she was able to hold her own against Harley Cameron until Harley pulled out a different move. I don't think I've seen her win with the Shining Wizard, but she got the win here with the Shining Wizard. And we're seeing Harley Cameron, who still is like less than 30 matches into her whole career, but she looks so good for someone this early in her career. And I've been impressed with her every time she's been in the ring.
Yeah, we've seen it week over week that she's been in the ring. Like, it one thing that's really fun to watch someone in the stage of their career is seeing them put it together. Like, that's one of the few things I like about reviewing NXT is when you have people that are just starting out, you can kind of see, like, okay, I get match pacing, I get selling, I get, like, you can see them starting to put that all together. And I feel like from what we've seen in front of the camera, Harley Cameron's doing that pretty quickly, and that's awesome. Love that for her. Guys, get in those super chats, because we already talked about the next match. We already talked about Griff Garrison and Serpentico. We already talked about MIT, okay? But we have not yet talked about Anthony Henry and defeating Vinny Massaro and Dante Leon with a really, really nice straitjacket German suplex from Henry on Leon. I yield my time to you, because Beef,
my favorite wrestler on Ring of Honor television. I told you guys the first week he showed up. I told you guys last week got deducted points because there was no Beef on my screen, and I got some Beef on my screen. So all the points
that were, I believe,
all the points and stars that was deducted from last week is put on this week. This is an 8 out of 10 show because we got Beef on it. And man, I'm all here for Beef. He is like a skinnier, taller Otis in a lot of ways. Like his energy in the ring is very reminiscent of Otis. And like, if you're going to go in evolutions, he's Otis and Heavy Machinery type energy to him. So I like Beef a lot, and I see the vision of Tony Khan in the future of the work
horse beefmen being our ROA six-man tag team champions when JD Drake is finally back. And I like that they're putting it all together. And I like the fact that cousin second removed, we got some little tidbits of the storytelling on commentary explaining us that he's a cousin removed, which I'm gonna assume that means that Anthony Henry is cousins to Beef's mother Beef. So Mama Beef is really his first cousin, and Beef is once removed, so he's the second cousin. So I'm understanding the family dynamics, the family tree, the Beef bloodline. We're building the Beef bloodline here, and Beef, I'm all bloodline. Here for the cinema of the Beef bloodline.
So if this is the Beef bloodline, and the bloodline has the Brahma Bull, this would be the Mama Bull, would be Mama Beef, right?
Mama Beef, Mama Bull. Look at your boy now, Mama Beef. Look at your boy now.
I'm in. What can we say about Anthony Henry that we haven't said before? Like, this guy is fantastic in the ring. I would still love to, as much as I love Beef and having fun with Beef. I would love to see him maybe looking at that Pure title, because, like, him and Lee Moriarty signed me up any day of the week and every day of the week for that. I think that could be extremely fun. So I will take it. But speaking of your Pure Championship, Lee Moriarty putting away Action Andretti, as one would expect with that Border City stretch. Paul White, Christopher Daniels, and Jerry Lynn, your judges, and also your board of directors, I believe. So good stuff there.
So many roles.
Oh my gosh, just the most basic things in the world, SP3, of like having a Pure Championship defended on television. It doesn't take much to make me happy. I always feel like it does. I feel like I'm being cranky out here, but I'm not. I just want my champions around. I love Pure Wrestling. I was so excited to see this. I don't know what they're doing with Action Andretti, and I don't know if they know what they're doing with Action Andretti, which makes me a little bit worried, because certainly feels like Top Flight has their flight attendant has moved into something different, that it's not like sometimes we're a tag team, sometimes we're a trio. Never know. Like, it feels like they are now an established act that has the parts that they want it, and that might not include Action Andretti anymore. There's something there with this kid. It's very obvious. There's a reason Jericho picked him for the angle that he was in. But they need to set him on a track, and I'm not sure the Pure match was like the best way to go about business with this. Not that he did poorly, but like, it's a different animal than traditional matches. And I don't know if that came across. Like, there's such added psychology and stuff in this. And I don't know if that was like the strong suit for him on this episode. But certainly not bad. I just, you know me, I'm a Pure sicko, so I like to see these matches utilized to their full potential, and I felt like that maybe wasn't the case today.
I enjoyed the storytelling of Lee realizing that Action Andretti didn't have experience in this type of matchup, and making him use all his rope breaks early on, which he took advantage of with the finish when he got the Border City stretch on and Action got to the ropes, and then he was forced to tap out because he didn't have any rope breaks left. So I enjoy that part of the story. I was just confused because I was pretty sure after that promo last week that it was supposed to be a Ring of Honor Pure Championship matchup, and then I'm pretty sure commentary and the ring announcer said this was a Proving Ground matchup, so I was just confused on that. I was like oh, okay, so this is a Proving Ground match.
Proving
so this
Ground matchup, according to my notes.
So I was like oh, so if he would have went 10 minutes he could have got a real title shot, but I was just confused on that because I'm pretty sure the promo last week was he was challenging him to defend the Pure Championship here. But hey, nonetheless, Lee Moriarty looking good. I will say, not to give any spoilers, but if you don't want spoilers, you could pause here and then press live. But I did see a picture of Rampage tomorrow, and it seems like we're getting a Top Flight faction, because I saw a picture of Darius, Dante, and Action Andretti
all in flight attendants.
Okay, I saw that picture, but I didn't take note that Action Andretti was in it. So, pick up.
He was like, he's not here. Leo Rush was the only one who didn't have the flight attendant suit. I was like, you had me with Layla Gray as the flight attendant. You might have already jumped the shark with this by putting everybody in flight attendant suits.
Pick a lane for these guys. I am so sick and tired of, they're a six-man, they're a tag team, they have occasional singles matches. Like, I'm so frustrated with the AEW tag division because my kingdom for a time that anybody but the three teams that are not already in this picture felt important. Like, yeah. Where's Private Party? Where's Butcher and Blade? Where's the Workhorsemen? Where's, like, put MXM in there now. Like, where are these tag teams? Iron Savages. Like, where are the tag teams that we said this tag team division had such a bright future because of? Like, the Bucks not defending, ain't it? I get it from the story perspective. They're not even telling the story of the EVPs abusing their power to avoid matches, despite the fact that the Acclaim still had this match for weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks. So that the DQ with FTR, like, these are the same teams that always feel important. And quite frankly, FTR is doing the most. They're the ones on Collision, working with the younger teams. Like, and established teams that just haven't had any breathing room, like your Private Parties. Like, it is so frustrating because it was like the strongest point of AEW. And it feels like that is now trickled down to ROH. You just said that they're on Rampage tomorrow and that there's a faction and all of them are in it. How is Top Flight not like a contender in the AEW tag division after the way that they came in, now that they're finally healthy? Like, pick a fucking lane. That's all I'm saying.
I just don't get it at all. And if you were going to do that finish on Dynamite with the Acclaim and the Young Bucks, why couldn't we have done this match like a month ago? So then it made sense for the Acclaim to have a beef with FTR. Because that's all they've cared about since Blood and Guts. Since Blood and Guts, they've been more concerned with FTR than even having a title match, which they won back in June. I'm sorry. That is 2 months after.
And then you put it
on their show last night in the dead spot before the main event, which was always the biggest complaint about the women's division is, oh, you always have the women's division at 9:20, 9:30, and it's right before the main event. And you put a matchup you've been building since May in that spot. What are we doing?
And it has not been, I wouldn't like the story, but they haven't even done the work to tell the story of the Young Bucks abusing their power to avoid this for this many months. Woof. And look, I am done with the Acclaimed right now. I am bored as hell and waiting for a Bowen singles run. But even if I wasn't, it's the same three teams that are just monopolizing this picture. Like, it would be like if only Jon Moxley and Kenny Omega and MJF got to be in the top of the card. Like, just three former champions and nobody else gets to play. Like, it's so frustrating. But kudos to FTR, because they're doing a ton of work on Collision that's showcasing the rest of the tag division.
Working with the Outrunners way too long on Collision. No, that match was way too long. I love the Outrunners.
It was way too long, and I loved every second of it. It made no sense that it went on that long, and I but we get a backstage from Layla Hirsch where she said that whenever she has her back against the wall, she always gets back up. So feels like maybe this injury is not that severe, which is good. Like, she's missed in the singles division. I absolutely adore her wrestling, but if she's still on TV in a sense, that means she's probably coming back sooner than later, which is good. Any thoughts that you want to jump in on that?
I just want to see Layla Hirsch back, because coming off of that matchup with Diamante, she feels like someone who's ready for a Ring of Honor Women's World title matchup, preferably on pay-per-view. But I know that Billy has that
kind of all sealed up for December and final battle. This is why we need another pay-per-view. We need another pay-per-view between July and December. Bring back Lori Bayana, Tony.
Wait, there's just so many pay-per-views just in general, though.
But Ring of Honor only has three. It only has three.
I know. Come on. And honestly, an ROH Big Four would be good.
Like, yeah. Big
Four would be good. But there's just like a lot of pay-per-views in general.
I know.
We're coming down the home stretch, guys. Get in those super chats. Leave a thumbs up on this video. On the back end of the show, you are going to have Cresta and Joel Pearl bringing you all of the TNA deliciousness you could ever want, despite what maybe some weirdos online have said. But a great interview with Steve Macklin that dropped earlier today with Joel Pearl. But they're going to talk to you. Nick Nemeth was defending his title today as well. So a couple of world champions defending on TV. Love that for us.
Indeed.
But we finish up our show with the six-man championship match. Look at all the championship matches that we got today. And ironically, neither of the women's ones were defended. We are so used to the women dominating the show. But we had your world title match. We had your TV title match. We had your pure proving ground match. We got your tag team, or your six-man tag team titles defended here with Dustin Rhodes and the Von Erichs versus Cage of Agony. You get a retention here from Dustin Rhodes and the Von Erichs. Nice to see the Von Erichs back in action. No Sammy Guevara to be found. I don't know what is next for him. I guess we will see. But a fun way to close the show. Dustin in Texas makes sense. I'm wondering if his retirement match is going to be at this big stadium show. I was thinking about that earlier. But also nice to see Cage of Agony back in action. Another one that's like, what are we doing, though? Like, is Brian Cage a singles wrestler? Are they a trio? What is the deal with that? But a fun way to close out the show. If you weren't going to close out with your world title match, at least they closed out with another title match. That makes sense.
Yeah, and it led to the big angle that I talked about earlier, where we didn't get a finish early. We got a DQ finish. Because the Dark Order have apparently aligned with the Undisputed Kingdom in hating on Dustin Rhodes, and the fact that Dustin Rhodes is not satisfied. He won his first title in ROH and AEW, and he's not satisfied with it. He wants tag team titles. He wants all the titles in the world. So Undisputed Kingdom teamed up with Dark Order, got involved here, caused a disqualification. They jumped the Von Erichs and Dustin Rhodes, led to Sammy Guevara coming out. I thought we were going to get another, Sammy saves the day type segment. But no, the heels got the advantage. I was actually surprised. I was like, oh, there's not a babyface that's going to come out and make the save and just kibosh all the heat for the heels here? No, the heels are standing tall to end the show. I was like, bravo, Tony. It actually feels like we have an episodic television show. We have some heels. We have some heels that are capable of coming out with a plan and executing it very well. I was quite surprised by that. I was just waiting. I was like, how much time is left in the show? Where's Mark Briscoe? Where's the conglomeration? I swear somebody's going to come out here and make the save. No, we got, what was it? Fiego and Helico and Serpentico. And then they got laid out as well. So I was like, very well done. Very well done. Making Cage of Agony, Dark Order, and Undisputed Kingdom look good here. Sammy got to show that he has the back of Dustin and Von Erich. So there was good storytelling with the run-ins, with the people making the save. So I thought this was a well-done angle to close the show. I'm just waiting to see what's going to be next. Are we going to have some type of alliance with these three different stables here? Or are they just about the hating on Dustin Rhodes, which I don't mind. I don't mind because Dustin is selfish.
Big words from you, but not going to lie. I did not see that part of the angle. My stream must have cut out or something. I'm not kidding. I did not see it. My play just caught. Maybe because I switched rooms to come in here, but I'm really glad you recapped that because My stream completely missed it. It must have just frozen when I switched to come in and set up my stuff. That's what happens when ROH actually ends at 9 o'clock proper.
So what did you see last with them doing like the Von Erich?
Yeah, 100%.
And you just assumed they did the claw, they got the win, and that was
we were going home on that, which would have made sense in Texas, honestly. So. Much to my delight, the heels stand. I found out with the rest of y'all, quite frankly. So, some good stuff. But if these episodes end at 9 p.m., we'll be starting this post-show at 9:05 proper again. Because we are actually getting full creative efforts. We'll see if it sustains past these tapings. But it's been really refreshing to have stories that are built outside of the title. Stories that are built into the title pictures. Really getting some consistency in this product has been a breath of fresh air, and just having our champions on the show again. It's such simple stuff. And I think with ROH, especially, the simplest stuff is always what works the best. It's the thing, SP3, that keeps you hooked. And speaking of hooks, I'm going to tell you all about Hooked in Voiceovers. Matthew Hook's a great supporter of our show. He's always supporting us on Tuesday nights. We want to give him a little extra love on this beautiful Thursday night and tell you all about Hooked in Voiceovers at hookedinvoiceovers.com. Matthew Hook's doing wonderful voiceover work from world-renowned brands, internationally known brands, nationally known brands everywhere. You can go to his website. He's got his commercial demo up. He's got his narration demo up for you at hookedinvoiceovers.com. He also does a ton of work outside of the actual voice part of it. He does a lot of the production stuff. He can do a bunch of different vocal styles. He's got you covered for like all of your voiceover needs, not just the actual talent aspect. So head over to hookedinvoiceovers.com. Support Matthew Hooks. He's always so supportive of us. Find him on social media as well. Just a gem of a human being, and we appreciate his support tonight and every night that he tunes into our stuff, which is quite frequent. Look at our chat. I love our chat. We're touching tips in the chat. They're throwing up hook emojis. We love to see it. Glad Matthew Hooks is not caught in the Jericho vortex. Okay, that makes me happy that we got one hook out of the Jericho vortex. But we're going to bring in Joel and Cresta to take over for your TNA post-show. Very excited to pass this off to them. Hot off of Joel's interview with Steve Macklin.
Oh, hey, that's me.
Earlier today. And the beautiful Cresta. Cresta, am I going to be seeing you at Grand Slam?
Hopefully. That's the plan. Grand Slam, Fam-a-Lam.
Let's go. Let's go. But they've got a lot to talk to you about on the TNA front. We had a good episode of ROH. The tapings have been very beneficial. It'll be nice to see if they sustain that effort coming out of the stationary tapings. But how was yes. TNA?
Joel, you want to go first?
We're out Joel, of time.
Joel, when you were out last week, Cresta was like, well, this was...
She turned into you.
That happened, and we were like, even when Joel's not here, he's here with us in spirit.
The spirit
and
I was of Joel like, lives on.
Whew, if you had been here, like if that's what Cresta was saying, who always comes in and is like, I am sports entertained, I am so happy. If you can shenan once, you can shenan again. Like if that's what we were getting from Cresta, who's normally in such a good mood, can't imagine how sick you must have been. Ill you must have been.
I was. Thank you to my toddler. Got me sick. But I will say this. It does happen. I was very active in our Fightful Select Discord, best $5 in the business, because I was able to get my thoughts off on last week's show. And I will say, if you're gonna retcon a squid, whew. That was not the way to do it.
Squid.
And that was
I can't wait to talk to you about your thoughts on that. Cause I was like, wait a just the you know what? Wrestling, things just happen.
Things do happen.
I don't know whose call it was to say goodbye to that, but I think they made a mistake.
They inked it away.
I should have asked. Should have asked.
Probably Gresham be like, I don't want to do this anymore.
But it was the best.
I mean, it was something that was getting done. And if you were just going to X-nay on the squid A, just pretending like it didn't happen, that's not the way to do it. That's just, you know, I don't know. I don't.
My God.
Met in Black Flash.
Yeah, literally.
That's what it was. It's like, oh, I woke up and I don't remember the last 5 months. I'm like, well, I do. And I said good things about this. And now you're telling me to forget about it? What are we doing? What are we doing here? And you know who I feel especially bad for? Sorry, now I'm on my rant. I feel bad for Kushida. This was the first storyline that he had been a part of since he got re-signed to TNA Wrestling. And this is what they did to him. They did nothing. They painted him up as Hakushi for one match because they couldn't do the payoff in Montreal because Gresham couldn't make it. And instead of them running it back and giving him the body paint and retrying to do it, they just said, nah, go back to being the time splitter, you old scamp. And then they sent him out there to go do the match.
Was that the forget sound?
I mean, it wasn't
the hair.
It wasn't a very good story for Kushida. I'll be honest.
It wasn't, but like you know it. What? But you know what? What else was he up to? What else was he doing? And I felt like this had some sort of opportunity. It's more than Gresham and Kushida had been doing up until this point. At this point, like Gresham was looking for a gimmick, and they gave him a gimmick. He found a gimmick, and it wasn't awful. It was kitschy.
That was cool.
Yeah. Like there was some stuff that worked. But anyway.
Octopus Ink. I get you.
Yeah.
Get you. Yes. Our better question, though, for you guys. Do you guys have tip etiquette? Do you touch tips?
I mean, we
have tip etiquette. Me and Katie.
Yeah. The thing with the tips is that, you know, us Jews, after 8 days, we handle ours.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
Still better than what Griff Garrison did in smooshing tips tonight. But
I think I felt docking.
No, that's when you lock onto the space station and you download your data.
Right.
Ayo!
Right. And then there's the Dutch rudder.
That's wow. That's our cue.
Later, guys.
Have so much fun tonight. Thank you guys so much for joining us. Enjoy the TNA post show. We're out of here.
Thanks, y'all.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.